Bayside Breeze. Now joining us in the studio, our regular guest, employment guru, Graham Wynn from Superior People Recruitment. Good morning, Graham.
Good morning, Colin. How are you today?
Very well, thank you. And you're really playing the role of Tarzan today because you've got a special guest.
I've brought Jane with me today, yes.
Ah, very good. Jane, good morning and thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Colin. Thank you so much for having me.
And
thank
now
you,
none Dave. Of us are wearing leopard skins or that sort of thing.
Well, you may not be.
Thank you, Jane. She's right on cue with that one. Jane Hurt is joining us. And tell us your role with the company, with Graham.
My role has recently started with Graham and I'm headhunting for recruitment roles for different companies, mm-hmm. loving it. What do you want me to say? I'm matching businesses with people.
Isn't that wonderful? And that's been your background, has it? Have you been in recruitment long?
In various companies.
Yes.
I've recruited for the companies, definitely.
Okay.
Yes, so long, long experience.
And now you've moved to an agency role.
Absolutely.
And what a great place it would be to work, Graham. You'd ensure that all your workplaces are very happy and accommodating places.
I try my best to do that. Jane used to be a client of mine years ago.
Yep.
And when Jane was looking for work, my thought was, well, why would I give it to somebody else? She's so good, I'll take her myself.
Oh.
So,
thank you.
Very nice. And it also brings in a senior role that new female perspective.
Correct, yes. Yeah, and it's good to have that balance, definitely, yeah.
Now let's have a look at some topics that have been making news in the past few days. And one thing I notice is the federal government's looking to end that push to get more and more students into university at the expense of vocational education and trades. And really it's because of one thing. There is a gaping shortage of workers in traditional blue-collar occupations. Graham, what do you think about this?
I think it's a wonderful idea, seriously. We're finding that there are far too many people just through natural progression, finish year 12, go to university. It seems like just that's the course they take. And we're ending up with a lot of people with qualifications and not enough jobs for those people. And also a lot of people who go to university don't even finish the course because it's not what they thought it was. And we've got a real shortage in tradespeople, skilled people, engineers, anything at all. There's a massive shortage. And the theory is that it takes too long, it's hard work. So by starting them at year 10, we can get them into the process much earlier and therefore they can qualify much earlier because the potential income for tradespeople is far greater than the academics.
I was speaking to a friend of my family the other day and she's got two sons. I think they're both now in their late teens and early 20s and both are in the final stages of their apprenticeships.
Mm-hmm.
One's going to be a chippy, a carpenter, and the other a plumber. How handy would it be to have those two in the family?
Perfect, perfect. And I say, it's because it's hard work and it takes a long time, people don't want to do it these days because it's low money as well.
Yep.
But if we can get them into it from year 10, they can still do some academic study as well, but they're straight into their apprenticeship much earlier. They can qualify much earlier and therefore start earning good money much earlier.
Would this apply to not only the traditional trades like plumbers and carpenters and so on, and mechanics, but also to things like computer technicians? I've had occasion in the past week to use a couple of different services who've come to my home and looked at different PCs and things that I've had problems with. Would that vocational training extend to those fields?
Probably not at this stage, no. The government have a list of skill shortage jobs, and of their 50 lists, the top 50, 31 of those are trades, such as plumbers, electricians, mechanics. That's where the shortage is, and yet not enough people are studying that. So this is really designed to try and deal with that skill shortage that we've got, because at the moment we don't have enough people, therefore we need to bring people on sponsored visas, 457 visas, and that's really what the problem is.
What about chefs and restaurant and hospitality people?
Chefs certainly would come under that category, definitely, yes, as well. Yes, because there's a shortage of those.
Jane, if you had your time over again, would you go into a trade?
No, I wouldn't, actually. No.
What about, would you encourage young women, though, to have a look at this as an opportunity?
Definitely. I think it would be a great idea for them to do so, rather than sitting through till age 18, they can actually do the learning while on the trade, which I think is a good experience.
Yeah, back in my day, leaving school, there weren't too many opportunities for women, and a lot of them went down that secretarial pathway. But now, thankfully, They're in every walk of life, every imaginable occupation and trade and profession.
And there's a demand for female trade skills as well, because people, for whatever reason, they feel more comfortable. Mm. If a female comes into your house rather than a man, they feel they get better service. They think females offer better service. Mm. So there's really a call for more females to do this.
Yes.
So I think they really should consider it, definitely.
One thing I love speaking to you about, Graham, is some kind of horror stories. And have you got any horror stories? And I mean about people turning up at interviews. Have you got any recent examples you can cite? And people turning up at interviews not delivering what you would expect or hope for, yep, of a potential client, I mean employee.
Yeah, besides the dress standard, which is fairly fairly bad quite often, and smelling of alcohol occasionally and what have you, that's never a good one.
No.
But we've even had ones where somebody would turn up with their mother at the interview.
Oh.
And the mother would want to sit in on the interview, and we explain, well, no, you can't do that. And her answer is, yes, but I want to make sure they answer the questions right. Well, that's their job, not yours.
Yes.
And we actually had one client of ours a couple of years ago, and they employed someone young, and the mother turned up day one to make sure that their daughter was looked after properly and they cared for her. And it just, you've got to let go sometimes.
Yeah.
You have to let go.
Admirable intention.
Yes.
But not really appropriate.
No, not at all. And we'll get phone calls from mothers. My son's looking for a job, or cover letters written by the mother. My son or daughter is looking for a job. Admirable, but they need to let the kids do this themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Now, one thing I noticed that is in the news, and I'm sure that you are Graham Wynn, because I've got our facial recognition software on that camera up there in the corner of the studio.
It's definitely me,
Graham. But what do you think about using sort of artificial intelligence and even facial analysis software by companies? What would they be using it for?
This scares me a great deal. It really does. Americans are trying this system at the moment where they think they can interpret people's body language, face recognition, and how they smile or don't smile to see if they're suitable for a job.
Oh, dear.
And I think this is so wrong in so many ways. A computer cannot, at this stage, interpret feelings, emotion. They can't do that. Mm. And when you're interviewing somebody, it's a real gut feel you have to go with.
Yes.
And AI can't do that.
Yeah.
A computer cannot work on gut feel. And I think when you're answering questions, you may have a different, the way you answer it may not be how your face actually is. Mm. And I'm not sure that really can write a program that would properly read what a person's thinking at that time of answering the question. And also, if you're relying on that to make you decide, should I employ this person, then I would think you're not very good at your job. You really shouldn't be relying on a computer to tell you this person's right for a job.
It's a bit of a cop-out.
And oh, it's scary.
I'm not even a big fan, as we've discussed before, of what I call those trick questions at interviews. I think they call it psychometric testing.
Yep.
I think it's rubbish. But nevertheless, I'm an oldie. I've hired some of my best employees about, they click.
It's a gut feel. It's a gut feel. It really is, yeah.
They're friendly, they're warm, they're engaging.
Yep.
But on the professional level, they know what they're talking about.
Correct.
Or they're willing to learn.
Yep. And this AI system is really using preset questions. So really, they're really not personalised questions to get to know a person.
Yeah.
They're preset questions to see how the person responds. Now, what we try and do, though, is we try and meet with an employer to get a feel for the work environment, the culture there, to match that person.
Mm.
Well, technology can't do that.
Yeah.
It just can't do that. So I don't like the idea at all. I think it's a cop-out, and it's easy for people to do this, but it's just wrong, and I certainly will never use it.
Jane, what do you think is the key to making someone feel comfortable during an interview? In other words, one guy who interviewed me once was great because he asked me about, do I have a dog? What are my favourite musicians? And I could feel as if he was really interested in me as a person. What's your key to it, Jane?
My key, first of all, is one, to give them a compliment.
Yeah.
A genuine compliment.
Mm.
And
like, I'm really impressed with your CV or something like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Love your photo.
Yep.
Like this, like that.
Yep.
I will then tell them a little bit about me.
Okay.
And what the whole session will be.
Yes.
But
yes.
I could talk all day about me. So I want you to tell me about
and
you.
Does.
Who are you?
Yeah.
What did you do on the weekend? What's involved in your life? So I get to know a little bit of who they are.
And then
their brand.
She moves in for the kill.
I like doing that.
But no, there's a real art to
there
recruitment,
is.
Proper yes. recruitment. And I just find, as I've also mentioned to you before, the ones who prejudge you on the basis of your age, it really irks me to the nth degree. You know, you've had 40 years in journalism, for example, and you can't get an interview for a job as a communications manager.
Yep. Well, a lot of the big recruitment agencies use an automated system. Mm. So when people apply for a job, the consultant doesn't even look at the resume. It goes straight into a database system, and if certain keywords match, it spits it out the other end. Mm. So again, you're taking away that personal, being able to interpret a resume. I just don't like the idea at all. No.
Good on you. And it's great to hear a professional practitioner saying that they prefer that good old-fashioned personal approach. And I know that that's what pleases clients who are looking for good people. Mm. If they get the filtering in a good old, hey, but let's change tack for a sec and play one of your favourite songs. What would you have on the agenda this morning?
Well, I think we've got Clocks by Coldplay coming up. Just a brilliant pop song.
Tried to swim against, bought me For a beautiful breakfast, a luscious lunch and a delightful dinner, your dining destination in Bayside is Champagne Charlie's European Restaurant and Cafe. Located in the heart of Bentley, Champagne Charlie's has the best value meals in Bayside and southern Melbourne. The menu has something for every taste. Drop in and enjoy breakfast, lunch or dinner at Champagne Charlie's, 309 Centre Road, Bentley. Phone 9557 6500.
Southern FM sponsor.
Do you like an old-fashioned trash and treasure market with everything from plants to pre-loved clothing, homewares to crafted jewellery and much more? Then join us at Bentley Sunday Market, 7 a.m. to midday every Sunday at Bent Street Car Park next to Bentley Station. All proceeds go to community projects of Bentley Moorabbin Central Rotary Club. Mention Southern FM for a free cloth shopping bag. Online at bentleymarket.org.
Southern FM sponsor.
Health programs are major beneficiaries of Lions Club's fundraising. Prostate and other cancers, multiple sclerosis, diabetes, motor neurone disease, stroke, renal problems, melanoma, rheumatism and arthritis, marine stingers, cord blood, craniofacial research. These are just some of the programs that Lions Clubs are involved in. When you are asked to support a Lions Club fundraiser, please help, as one day you too may need their help.
Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
And you're listening to A Newsman and His Music. I'm Colin Tyrus and I'm with Graham Wynn and Jane Hurt from Superior People Recruitment. And Graham's our employment and recruitment guru. And before we say huru to the guru today, I notice in the papers that a German court has ruled that hangovers are an illness. And some illnesses that I can relate to in that regard. But nevertheless, what's your view on this as far as would it become an official excuse or a reason for a sick day?
I think there's a few things with this. And I must admit, my initial reaction is, yes, let's make an actual day off for a sickie. Mm. Because, as I say, if Jane came to work tomorrow and she had a hangover, I would send her home because they're of no use to me at all and it's not safe for them either. Mm. So why not make it an official sickie? And obviously there are implications with that. If someone has every Monday off, you think there's a bit of a pattern here.
Yeah.
But also employers, they could really use this as a bit of a monitoring of their staff. Mm-hmm. If there's been no issues at all, but just all of a sudden a person starts having a few of these days.
Yes.
And therefore they're suddenly drinking more than they used to, mm-hmm. is that a trigger as an employer to really step into, okay, is there something going on here? Do we need to have a conversation with them? So you could really monitor it for that reason as well.
Are you okay day.
That kind of thing. Yeah. So I'm actually quite okay with this being treated as an illness and someone ringing me on Monday and saying, had a big weekend, I'm not going to come in today. No problem. Sick leave for you. No, I've got no issue with this one at all. I think it's a really good idea, yeah. Because as I say, if Jane came in, I sent her home, she would still get paid for the day. It wouldn't be treated as a sick day.
What do you reckon, Jane? You reckon that people should get help if they're coming in consistently with issues?
Absolutely, Colin. Are You Okay Day has obviously proven very, very important in the community.
Yes.
And it's obviously it would be a problem to address singly. So doing it in a workplace in a group atmosphere at first,
yes.
and letting people know that there is support and help through the employer, and then you can address it individually if it's starting to occur on a regular basis.
Because again, reverting back to the bad old days, it was called, you didn't even get three warnings, you were more or less out.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
And now there really is help at hand from people who work with you in human resources and so on. And
definitely, if a very good employee, it's very costly to lose and replace. Mm. So to work with them.
Yeah. Okay, that's a great tip. One thing I also noticed in the news that more backpackers seem to be staying on because of some changes in working holiday visa requirements, Graham.
Yes. So what's happened in the past, if you did a 3-month rural work in your first 12 months, you could stay for an additional 12 months. They've now changed that. If you do 6 months work in year 2 rural work, you can stay for a third year.
Oh, great.
So which means backpackers are staying much longer than they used to.
Yes.
So doing far more of the farm work, the rural work. The knock-on effect is people are saying this is wrong because it's taking local jobs.
No.
I don't believe it is because they wouldn't employ the backpackers if they could fill it with local people. So the backpackers are required to do this work because local people either don't want to, or it's too difficult, or it's too far for them. Yeah. So we do need these backpackers to do this farm work, definitely.
And no better way to see parts of Australia that you may not have otherwise seen. Jane, have you ever done any fruit picking or anything like that in your days?
I did, because I had an orchard when I was very young.
So, okay.
And actually employed backpackers back in
good on you.
A number of years ago.
See, there's something to relate to in every story, isn't there?
These hands haven't done fruit picking, trust me.
Well, thank you so much once again for joining
Graham. Colin.
Graham Wynn and Jane Hurt this morning. Thanks, Jane.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
So appreciative of both of you being here. And speaking of being here, Sandy Kay is our